Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to A to Z program. Today we are going to be discussing some key terms in relation to taqwa. Those terms, we have pointed them earlier in the last program where we talk about wajibat, we talk about mustahabbat, we talk about muharramat or haram actions, and we talk about makruhat. Today I would like to elaborate a little bit about these four types of actions for you that are strongly tied with the concept of taqwa. So the first one, wajibat. Wajibat are those mandatory acts that if we fail to perform, we'll have punishment on the Day of Judgment. These are the acts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory for us to carry out. The second term is mustahabbat. Mustahabbat are those actions which are recommended in Islam, but if they're not carried out, there is no chastisement or punishment. Next one is haram actions. Haram actions are those actions which are prohibited, strictly prohibited in Islam. By who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator. These haram actions are the source of our spiritual downfall. So haram is something that has to be avoided, refrained from at any cost. The last, but not the least, is makruhat. Makruhat are those actions which are not haram, so to speak, but it's better to avoid them. Next, we're going to look at the categories of wajibat and muharramat. It can be safely said that wajibat actions, which are the compulsory and mandatory actions, they can be divided into two. There are two aspects of them. One is a personal aspect, and the other is a social aspect. Now, when you look at the personal aspect, you have a lot of examples to see. For instance, praying, for instance, fasting, for instance, paying our dues, the Islamic dues, the khums and zakat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made wajib on us, right? All of them are personal level of wajib acts. Then the other wajibat are the social aspect of it, where our social involvement makes things happen or makes our plans fail. For instance, joining the Al-Quds rally, right? If you look at it, it's an intellectually speaking, it's a wajib act. Why? Because there's a principle of Islam that we have to stand up for the oppressed Muslims of the world, right? So this is the social aspect of carrying out our wajibat. Then next we have muharramat, or the haram actions, which again have two types. One is the personal and then the social. Personal, you have a lot of examples to look at. For instance, looking at a non-mahram, somebody who's not a mahram to you, you look at that person with lust. This is haram, right? Then the social aspect of haram actions is cutting off your ties with your relatives. In Islam, it is not allowed. You have to do silah rahmi. You have to meet your relatives. It doesn't have to be that you have to meet them every day, every week. It could be a simple phone call to your relatives that you have not spoken to in a while, or just a quick visit. But cutting off from your relative in Islam is another haram which has social implications. Now look at an example in our everyday life. We see a young kid going to masjid to say namaz. On his way back to his home, now shaitan knows he did something that is really good. He did a wajib act inside a masjid. Going to a masjid makes it mustahab as well. Praying itself was wajib. He went to masjid, it became mustahab, right? Now he's on his way to home. He sees a non-mahram girl. What does he do? He does not lower his gaze. This is where shaitan comes in. This is where your taqwa plays a big role. If your taqwa, which is a shield against the sins, is strong, you would not let shaitan make this happen to you. You would not look at that girl, right? But if you look at that girl, you did something haram, right? After doing a wajib act, plus a mustahab act. So we see a lot of these examples, right? Where people are doing good stuff, and right after that, it's followed up with something that is bad. And this is where your taqwa plays a part. Staying at that condition of God consciousness is important. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, the progeny of Prophet, he guides us and gives us and enables us to acquire taqwa in our life and maintain that state of taqwa in our life.